All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our NFL podcast for Friday, December 15th. I am Doug Norrie. That is
Jake Davis.
Three off there, buddy.
Did you forget who you were
for a second? I was actually debating in my head if I wanted you to say your name first, and then I got caught in between. So then I said I am instead, and that's just kind of how my brain was flowing this morning. All right, I know you have a hard out in 45 minutes, so we need to get this thing rolling. DailyFantasySportsRankings.com is the site. DFSR.com/NBA will get you a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by our good friends over at Lineup Lab, which will have you covered for this week's NFL games all through the rest of the season, NBA as well, base projections for NHL. You're all good to go. Plus free or access to our members only chat, which people seem to appreciate, where we're in there discussing stuff, you know, every day and leading up into all the major locks for NFL and NBA. So we're all good to go. DFSR.com/NBA, free for 3 days, and then $34.95 a month after that. All right, we're going to be rolling through the main slate game by game breakdown today. We're going to kind of gloss over the Saturday games. The Chicago-Detroit game actually doesn't strike me as all that interesting. And then the Chargers-Chiefs is interesting. And then who the hell knows what you're doing with the Chiefs. And that's the game that probably most people are going to target. But if you're playing the Saturday only slate, God bless you. But we're going to kind of move past those and talk about some of the main slate considerations. We did do a cash game podcast yesterday where we just broke down some of our favorite cash game plays, including Russell Wilson, the quarterback, Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, at running back and wide receiver, respectively, Kenyon Drake as well, and Adam Thielen. So, you know, with the Pittsburgh guys, we're not really going out on any huge shaky limb when we're recommending those guys. Wilson either. Absolutely. But so if we gloss over some of them on this podcast, you'll know why. Go back and listen to we go in depth onto those guys and a few more in the cash game one. So that's over in the DFSR NFL podcast feed. And now let's roll through some of the games for Sunday. The first game is Houston goes in and plays Jacksonville. Jacksonville, huge favorite right now, -11.5. This is a Fournette was a guy I did not write up specifically because I wrote up Bell and Brown and Wilson. And I was so prioritizing those guys so much that it would have seemed incorrect to me to like, and then play Leonard Fournette and play all the most expensive guys at running back and play all the most expensive guys at wide receivers. And then you'll win a DFS if you can just play all the best players at every position that with price independent. But, you know, where do we stand with Fournette here? Because, you know, a -11.5 home favorite is basically the money spot for running backs, especially a guy like him that they've given the ball to a ton. And yet I still see him just as a GPP thing, mostly just because of the existence of Bell. Where do you land on Fournette here? And do you think some people maybe pivot to him off of Le'Veon?
No, I don't think so. I mean, particularly because he missed 2 days of practice in a row this week. I think the injury concerns are enough that you're probably not going to want to prioritize him at anywhere near the same price. More interesting becomes, like for me, missing 2 days of practice like that does raise real questions about his availability for Sunday's game. So if he were to miss, I think that you get an interesting decision because Ivory has been sometimes bad, but sometimes really, really good on those cheaper prices. And he would be inheriting that same home favorite status and so forth. So I'm keeping an eye on that situation, but not to play Fournette.
My guess is if Fournette were to be out, that line would drop to something like 9.5. It's still great. Maybe even lower. I always wonder how much sometimes. I've seen some articles posted more recently, and there's been, maybe I'm just like following more gambling, straight gambling stuff, but about how specific players are directly affecting lines. Like you can see it sometimes, right? Like you can see what exactly does Vegas value, like a Steph Curry. What exactly does Vegas value at Eli Manning, let's say, from earlier in the year where the line, the Giants right, started looking better without Eli. So be interesting to see where Fournette lands. Other guys maybe on our radar here, the passing game has become a little bit more sound with guys like Marquise Lee, Dede Westbrook getting targets from Bortles. Houston, not a great matchup, but again, Jacksonville for them are supposed to put up points. Anything else you like on the Jacksonville side?
Yeah, I mean, I think Lee started to show himself as being a little bit interesting for DFS purposes. You know, the price has come up as a result, so I don't think you want to go too crazy on it. Jacksonville's kind of a weird offense. They've been a pretty good team this season, but it's been difficult for them to sustain big-time fantasy value. And Lee also is dealing with his own foot injury. So, yeah, I think otherwise on the Jacksonville side, it's just not really a thing for me.
Hopkins is a guy in Houston that we talked about where we stood with him just being quarterback proof, matchup proof at this point in terms of, not in terms of his overall production, but at least in terms of how many times are we just willing to chuck the ball. They remind me of back when I was in middle school, we had a flag football team that we played like intramurals and we had some good athletes on the team, but our whole plan was basically just to throw Hail Marys the entire game. Like we had no actual offense. We never actually went into the huddle and called any plays. We just knew we had the guy that was the biggest arm and we're like, we're just going to throw the ball down the field. And if we catch it, we catch it. And we made it to the championship on that one, then lost. And unbelievably, that strategy didn't lose or didn't win. But that's kind of like, I see that same thing with Hopkins. Like, it kind of doesn't matter if it's Yates or Savage or, I mean, preferably Watson. He's just going to get like 15 targets a game. And at some point, is that just worth paying for, even in a bad matchup here against Jacksonville, who has an outstanding secondary?
Well, speaking of worth paying for, in our precious 45 minutes, I 100% think that your intramural football analogy was worth the whole minute, definitely. So let's just get that out of the way. Perfect. Perfect.
I cut it off short, buddy, because I knew we had a hard out. I could have gone to shout out to my boy Gerson Torres, all right?
Like, yeah, well, like, no, that's true. You could have done that, and then you just did. I think Hopkins, I mean, in the worst possible matchup, the volume is there. The price has come down. He's listed as questionable right now because he missed practice on Thursday with a toe thing. That's a totally new injury, so I'm not sure what to make of it. Like, on one hand, it seems to me that it's probably something that cropped up during the week. It's probably another thing that kind of muddies the waters a little bit in an already sort of dicey decision. So I've been underrating Hopkins for the last 3 weeks, so I'm arguably not the guy you want to turn to for that kind of information. And I'm sure
if DFSR.com/MBA, sign up for that great system that we're trying to tout here.
No, we have a great system. Excuse me, Doug. That is not what I was saying. What I was joking. Saying was I'm an honest person. I'm not going to sit here and be like, I made the right call on Hopkins every week, because I haven't, right? And that would be unrealistic. And anyone who says things like that is probably a liar. That being said, if Hopkins were to miss for whatever reason, I'm not sure that I would want to rely on any of these backup guys, even Fuller, who I think would be very attractive to a lot of people, simply because the matchup is so bad. So, it's a wait and see for me. And all that being said, I'm not going to prioritize Hopkins' price in the worst possible matchup.
Be very interesting to see what a no Hopkins thing would do to that line too, because I suspect he's got to be worth a couple points at least. Yeah. Moving into the next 1 o'clock game, Green Bay goes in to play Carolina. Obviously, the big news here: Aaron Rodgers is coming back after coming back very early, I think, from this injury. I think this is 2 weeks earlier than they had projected, something like that. It's definitely earlier in terms of when they thought they were going to get him. He's not exactly cheap, and we are getting, you know, this is Rodgers here, and we're feel like we should know what we're getting. At the same time, guys coming back for injuries always have me a little scared. In terms of overall projected points, we have him, you know, basically second behind Russell Wilson, although he's more expensive. What are your thoughts here on Rodgers? Worth a GPP look, just because it's Aaron Rodgers, safer cash? How do you kind of view him coming back here?
Yeah, I think you painted a pretty good picture of Rodgers here. There's concerns with him coming back from injury. I think the fact that it was coming back from a collarbone injury is a little bit less scary than like a soft tissue injury for me. It stands to reason that the Packers, I mean, they've always been very cautious with Rodgers in general as well. It stands to reason that if he's back and he's feeling good enough to play much earlier than the expected time, I would guess he's something like 100%. The real question is, can he catch up to game speed quickly enough, given that everyone else has had a full season of reps under their belt? So I think, by the way, that our projection of him having the second highest overall fantasy points total sounds about right to me. So I think we have him projected well, or accurately rather, and I think there's probably better options for cash games. So interesting big tournament option, also totally reasonable just to wait and see where it all shakes out.
Yeah, and we talked about this on the recap podcast, but it was a bummer that they recorrected Jordy Nelson's price specifically coming back.
Clever dogs.
Rodgers coming back. He gets much too expensive, I would say, just on the uncertainty around that. You have to lower Devontae Adams, because Devontae Adams was not his number one. It was not Rodgers' number one target before the injury, and it stands to reason that he would not be coming back. He was Brett Hundley's kind of go-to guy. And then you have Jamal Williams, and it almost feels like you give the running back a little bit of a downgrade here too. Jamal Williams has been excellent over the last couple weeks, and like, where do we land with him? He's only 6,500 on FanDuel. He's been pretty good at this price. Does it help him or hurt him to get Rodgers back?
Yeah, I think it. It's so hard to say, you know, because these guys were sliding into these totally different roles with Hundley, who was pretty effective. Like, I mean, it should almost always help everyone to upgrade insert backup here up to Aaron Rodgers. But when roles change this dramatically, I think we just have to wait to really get definitive answers for that. My gut tells me that Adams' usage comes down and that Nelson goes up, And there's also just some chance that Adams is more skilled now. He's easier to pass to. And we just don't really know because we haven't seen Rodgers passing with this team at this time.
Carolina side, I did talk about Cam Newton as a possible DraftKings play this week, mostly because of the running. And you always get a little scared because the completion percentage is complete garbage. They're going to get Greg Olsen back, and they're saying that he's going to be fully healthy and good to go, though that was the case last week when they brought him back, and then he got hurt again during the game. Anything else outside? I know you really don't like Cam, and I don't love Cam either. I kind of begrudgingly wrote him up, but anything else to like on the Carolina side of the ball here?
Yeah, I think we talked about this at length yesterday. I think Cam has his upside just based on the running potential, but the guy's passing for fewer than 200 yards a game. So I don't know how anyone would want to play anyone who's a part of a passing game like that, unless the prices were just too good to ignore. I mean, Olsen's trending down into that territory if you used his past season results as any proxy. But even when he was out there earlier this season, he just wasn't really involved. So I think I'm just over it with the Carolina passing attack. And since Cam represents so much of the running attack, I'm not sure if you're really getting away with anything playing like Jonathan Stewart in spite of his big touchdown performance last week.
Yeah, it's a very tough team to trust just in general because they kind of, you know, they'll give Stewart the reps in a good game script and he can completely disappear. Christian McCaffrey is improved over since the beginning of the season, still has trouble breaking tackles and just putting together huge games. So I don't love it. And yet they're still supposed to put up some points. And I guess, like I said, I can talk myself into Cam on DraftKings. So, next 1 o'clock game is the Eagles and the Giants. Eagles, even without Carson Wentz here, still -7.5 road favorites against Giants, which probably says more about the Giants than it does about the Eagles. Eagles side of the ball here. Nick Foles is obviously going to start. He came in, didn't really throw that many passes when he came in. I mean, he's obviously just kind of just thrown into the fire in that win against the Rams. Did go 6-for-10 for 42 and then had 9 yards rushing. He's a guy that has had NFL reps in the past, has a lot of weapons at his disposal here, is not all that expensive, especially on DraftKings. Where do we view a guy like Foles? And do you think that you see people actually take a stab at him? He's only 5,500 on DraftKings. That represents a pretty nice savings. Where do you stand with a guy like Foles?
Yeah, 6,000 on FanDuel. I mean, I think Foles is a good play this week. I think Carson Wentz has been good, but it's not like he's been taking a ton of these like really tricky, difficult throws downfield. I think the Eagles offense is just sort of working well. Foles also gets Ertz back this week, who's cleared the concussion protocol. There are obviously some other tools there in Aguilar and Jeffrey. So I think Foles at that cheap, like we've played totally unknown quarterbacks at 6,000 just because that number is so low. And I think Foles is probably a cut above those guys. And then it just doesn't hurt to have a great defense to go up against in the Giants. You know, they're ranked 32nd against the pass this season. So I think from top to bottom, there's a lot to love about this Nick Foles spot.
I've read this, I'm not an X's and O's football guy at all, but I have read prior to this, like in earlier weeks, that the Eagles offense is actually very simple to run. Like they don't run a complicated offense. And that strikes me as liking Foles even more, I think, because if the offense doesn't already require a ton of checks and reads and doesn't have all these intermoving parts that some offenses do, it strikes me as the kind of offense that a backup can walk into and be okay. So he's a guy we'll evaluate going into Sunday. I find him interesting. And like you said, the matchup is just completely choice with the Giants, who are god awful on defense. Giants side of the ball here. I mean, Sterling Shepard, we thought we'd see targets out of last week. That didn't really materialize. I think Roger Stewart saw more of the targets. Looks like they're going to be playing from behind. Philly's been a pretty good defense. Giants a full skip here, or is you seeing something I'm not?
No, I think the Giants are a full skip. I mean, I guess it's encouraging to see Shepard feeling better. That's cool. But yeah, in this matchup, I feel like almost anything could go. And given that Shepard has, you know, looked affected by that injury, regardless of his status, means that I'm not going to play any of these guys.
Arizona goes in to take on the Redskins. Redskins are -4 home favorites. Arizona is just, Peterson has been ruled out for the rest of the season with the injury, so he's not coming back. Briefly discussed Kerwin Williams yesterday as a possible cash game play at 4,000 on DraftKings. If you think the carries are going to maintain for him, he doesn't really see any work in the passing game, which is something of a problem for DraftKings. But if you think he's going to see 15 to 20 carries and he's the definitive goal line back as well, there seems to be some value there. On the Washington side, They're going to be without Jordan Reed for the rest of the season. Vernon Davis is a guy that's kind of been creeping up at times into our projections. If you think the targets are there, do you think he's a guy we could take a stab at tight end? Is there anything else you like about the Washington side?
Yeah, I think your point yesterday on the Cash Game pod about how terrible tight end is this week leads me to be more likely to consider a guy like Davis. Seven targets last week is among the highest of those tight ends under 6,000 on FanDuel right now. So I think that Davis is definitely in consideration. I think, you know, you mentioned the Arizona side of the ball. I do think Kerwin Williams is an excellent cash game play this week, just given the lack of other options that they have. And again, it really helps to save up, given if you really want to play guys like Bell and Brown. So that's kind of where I'm sitting here. I mean, Jamison Crowder continues to be a guy seeing a lot of target share, relatively inexpensive compared to what he had done a few weeks ago, but the last 2 weeks that those targets have come down a little bit. So I'm starting to wonder if that was a little bit of fool's gold. So I probably wouldn't want to prioritize him for cash games, but I think you could see some upside there for big tournaments if you were to revert back to the usage he saw against the Giants and Vikings last month.
Josh Oxen probably going to get the Patrick Patterson treatment here, so I think he's pretty much out of play. Crowder, according to Pro Football Focus here, does see the best matchup out of the slot that Arizona has to handle or has to throw at them. So although that's still Tyrann Mathieu, and he's pretty good. So I just don't know. It still seems like it represents overall not a plus matchup. This is just a tough game because Arizona's got a good defense. So it's tough to kind of look really strongly at the Redskin guys. And then Arizona just doesn't have much of an offense. So you kind of get caught in the middle on these two teams. Baltimore goes in to Cleveland. Baltimore -7 favorite. I did not write him up and it was kind of close. The price has come up. What are your thoughts here on Alex Collins? We talked about him briefly on the recap pod and we kind of debated about where we stand on this Cleveland run defense, which is rated pretty high. And we've been skeptical about, you know, if they really are the number one ranked rush defense in the NFL, according to DVOA, because it doesn't seem like they are. And then they still have kind of shut down some backs in recent weeks. Where do you stand on a guy like Alex Collins, whose role has, I would say, seems pretty solid at this point in terms of what they plan on giving him the ball?
Yeah, I like Collins. I do think Cleveland's run defense is probably overrated. There's a couple flies in the ointment. I mean, he's definitely emerged as the running back one here in Baltimore, but they do have a lot of other guys still on this roster, still touching the ball occasionally. Javorius Allen had 6 carries last week. Terrence West had 2 carries. Danny Woodhead had 2 carries and saw a lot of targets out of the backfield. And perhaps more problematic for Collins' potential upside is the fact that Allen had 2 touchdowns, you know, and if he's only going to touch the ball 6 times, but 4 of those times are going to be inside the 5-yard line, that's crazy. Some difficulty really at any price, right? So I think there's stuff to like about Collins, but I think there's a lot of risk here as well.
If you had I'm trying to always like tier running backs here, Alex Collins or Jamal Williams, who would you feel more comfortable with? They're around in the same price tier. Williams a little bit more expensive. Do you have a gut feeling about where you stand on either one of those guys?
Yeah, I'd probably want to go with Jamal Williams just because I really like that he was featured in the passing game. And I don't think Green Bay really has another plan when they get down low. I also think with teams like Baltimore, yeah, like Collins can be the plan. But if things aren't running well, it's just like a kid in a candy shop. He's like, well, maybe Terrence could mix this up for us. Maybe Danny would get in there and catch some balls. So I think Williams' role is a little bit more secure and you're paying more for it. So that seems appropriate to me, though. Like, I don't think Williams is... He's 500 more than Collins right now. I don't think he's worth a thousand more than Collins.
Mike Wallace did land on the injury report here. I suspect he's still going to play. It doesn't really, it's hard, tough to get excited about anything in the Baltimore passing game at all. They really just want to run the ball as much as possible and keep it out of Flacco's hands and just turn it over to the defense. And then on the Brown side of the ball, we saw Josh Gordon as a very popular play last week, did catch a touchdown, didn't get outsized targets again. So he saw less targets than he did in his return, but he did end up catching the touchdown. Do you think people go back to him again this week? He's pretty expensive, 7,500 on FanDuel, and I'll look up his DraftKings price real quick. But do you think people head back down that road again, or do you think the matchup is going to turn? The matchup, it's a very good, I think Baltimore's got the number one DVOA defense in the league. Do you think that kind of turns people off to Gordon?
Yeah, hopefully for their sake and for their bankrolls, hopefully for our sake, people will play him. I mean, some people, especially in big tournaments, are simply not going to be able to resist. It'd be surprising to see him have significant cash game ownership, though.
Yeah, I agree. And I think you can consider playing the Ravens defense in this game. We don't usually kind of focus on what the defenses we want to play, but the Ravens are definitely in a good spot here. Hit us up with a sponsor and then we'll keep rolling through some of these games.
Yeah, let's go. NoHalftime.com is a great place to go. You can check out their app and get going making one-on-one daily fantasy sports challenges. So, you know, answering these questions like Jamal Williams versus Alex Collins, or, you know, put Aaron Rodgers up against whatever quarterback, Russell Wilson. You know, I would issue that challenge and take the Wilson side. You can check them out. It's a really neat way to play daily fantasy sports without having to go through all the rigmarole of worrying about injury risk or trying to make that last $100 work on the various big-time salary cap format sites. So download the No Halftime app, check out the challenges that other people have issued, and if you use promo code DFSR, you can get 50% bonus up to $50 on your first deposit. So NoHalftime.com, download their app for this weekend.
Cincinnati goes in and plays Minnesota. Minnesota is a minus 11 favorite. On the Cincinnati side, Joe Mixon still has not cleared concussion protocol, and I believe Gio Bernard is dealing with an injury as well. Cincinnati just seems like a total mess. Now, Minnesota is a big favorite here, big home favorite. They are still rolling out something of a running back by committee between Murray and McKinnon. Would we feel comfortable if we thought that the game script was going to be really positive flow for the running attack? Would we feel comfortable rolling with a guy like Murray? It seems like that's their plan in games where they're winning. He's the goal line guy as well. Does this strike you as a matchup where we could maybe not prioritize him, but think about playing a guy in a clear timeshare?
Yeah, I would not want to play Murray. He had 11 touches last week, and he's 6,200. Like, I would always rather pay up an extra 600 for a guy like Alex Collins, let's say, who's also on a timeshare, but who seems to have more of a defined role. I don't think Murray's like terrible by any stretch, but if your goal is to achieve safety in your lineups, he's not the guy that I'm going to turn to.
I feel a little bit better. It's going to be hard for me to want to play him in cash games. They were playing from behind last week against Carolina, which is where he saw his decrease in touches. I get that that's always a risk. Any team can fall behind. There's certain running backs that are more at risk of stuff like that than others. If you do see them get out to a lead, which I mean, Vegas kind of sees that as being the case, something like 15 to 17 carries is completely reasonable for me, because that's really been all the games before this that have been where they've been winning and sometimes winning easily, 16, 20, 15, 17, 19, 18, 15 carries with a couple targets in the passing game. I don't hate it, I guess is what I'm saying. I think he has outsized touchdown upside if they're able to get down and close. So I don't hate it. It's good. I wouldn't really want to do it for cash games at all, like in the same price tier as Kenyon Drake, let's say, on FanDuel. I think you're clearly
saying is that you only have to pick two running backs, right? So you, like, on DraftKings it's a little different. You can slide guys into the flex, the pricing is different, etc. But given that you only have to play two running backs, I don't see why he would be one of the two that I would ultimately land on. Like, the value would have to be pretty significant. One quick note on the Cincinnati side, you mentioned Joe Mixon not out of the concussion protocol. He did practice on Thursday, so that leads me to believe that he's more likely than he was on Wednesday when he wasn't even practicing, but there could be really be value on the Cincinnati side too, whatever the game script says, because if Mixon and Bernard are both out, for instance, there's just going to have to be some serious value to be spread around. So keep an eye on some.
I think the value is going to be at that point going to be the Vikings defense would be the value. I think, like, I think that they are,
now, these
like,
guys they were good, right? Joe Mixon being out doesn't move the line. I don't know.
They just don't. They're already bad. Let me put it this way. I think the Vikings defense is already a really good play. And I think if they were just continue to just lose even guys that were maybe not even the starters to begin the season, I think it would move the line a little bit, not significantly. And I like the Vikings defense kind of sort of independent of that news. So I think it would just make it a little bit easier. And when I'm mentioning Murray at this point in this podcast, I'm mentioning these guys for just like for tournament upside
purposes. We already did a cash game podcast, I guess.
Correct. So I'm not really making cash game. I would have made the cash game case for other guys. And we mentioned Adam Thielen yesterday as thinking that he has some touchdown upside based on his red zone conversion, which has been very low in comparison to his overall season conversion rates. And if you compare those to other receivers in the same sort of realm in terms of the red zone to regular season conversion, then it looks like he's just running very, very bad on touchdowns. Miami goes in and plays Buffalo. Buffalo minus 3.5 favorite. Sure looks like Tyrod Taylor is going to start here. It hasn't been officially announced, but that seems to be the consensus. The over-under on this game is very low. It's only 39. That, like I said, Buffalo is the favorite. We mentioned Kenyon Drake. We don't often play running backs in as road underdogs, so that does not feel good. And at the same time, I think we made a pretty strong case for him. Let's go over to Buffalo. If Tyrod Taylor's playing, they're slight home favorites. Shady McCoy, he had a huge game in the snow game last game. He's not going to see the same amount of carries, obviously, because it's not going to be dumping down snow, I don't think. Do you think that paying up, like pivoting to him, like maybe if you wanted to do a Le'Veon Bell fade, let's say, do you think McCoy represents a reasonable way to get separation from the field?
I think so. Really just the New England game in his last three was less than the usage you'd hope for on these price points. And there are obvious reasons for that. 26 touches against Kansas City, obviously the 32 against Indianapolis last week. It's another game where Buffalo has every incentive to slow the game down and control the clock. And while it's not physically impossible to pass, probably like it was last week, why not just stick with what works? So I think McCoy is an excellent big upside option.
On Miami side, Jarvis Landry is a guy that we've liked in the past for just target upside because he's been one of the most, I think the third most targeted wide receiver in the game. Now the yards per catch aren't really there, but definitely in terms of looks, Cutler has looked his way just as much as anybody else in the entire NFL. Not a guy that we've been playing over the recent weeks just because of some matchup concerns and some price concerns. Could you see us going back that way, 7,100 on FanDuel?
Yeah, the price is just high for me, kind of. What you love in Landry is the floor seems to be just nuts. I mean, in the last 3 weeks, he's had 23 targets and converted 21 of those into catches. So that's just terrific, especially on DraftKings. We also know that Landry is a big-time target in the red zone when they get down there, as evidenced by his two touchdowns against New England. The question on FanDuel anyway is 7,100 just simply too expensive for a guy who seems to get like 6 yards per catch or whatever? And for me, probably. I mean, it's not out of the question, but it's not something I would be excited about the way I was at 6,300.
Yeah, that makes total sense. This is such a low scoring game. It doesn't stand to see that people are going to see. I like when we played Miami, like especially Landry. I like when we're playing him as an underdog in a pace up matchup, and that's just not the case here against Buffalo. So it's just fine to avoid him. And actually, we might just see him coming a couple hundred bucks cheaper if this game does play out the way Vegas thinks it's going to, and they just don't see the amount of touches. I think we could maybe start buying low on him coming for the last 2 weeks. Jets go in to the Superdome to play New Orleans. New Orleans, I think this is probably the second biggest line I've seen on the season, where New Orleans is a minus 16 favorite. Jets are going to be without McCown. They're going to start Bryce Petty. So things aren't looking good on that side, hence the kind of line that we're seeing here. I think we can pretty safely ignore most of what's happening on the Jets side. Maybe if you want to take a GPP stab on one of the wide receivers like Hurst or Anderson. But even that seems like you're asking a lot to get for them. Now the Saints, though, at this kind of favorite, against a Jets defense that looks like they're going to allow a lot of points at home under the dome, where do we want to put guys like Ingram, guys like Kamara, even Breeze at home? They're projected for a lot of points, and yet I'm a little bit worried about the blowout.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about the blowout, and I'm also worried about the expense. I mean, Thomas, Ingram, and Kamara are all more than 8,000. Kamara tops 9,000. Like, that's just really expensive for the top three skill position guys on this team. And if you take them off the table because they're too expensive, all of a sudden you just don't really have any value guys left over. So I don't know. I mean, Breeze, I think, is a consideration there. 8,400 seems cheap to me, especially for big tournament purposes. I don't know if you can rely upon it for cash games just because they do have the explosive running back duo. But yeah, it's kind of weird to say, but I just don't know. I think the pricing has just simply gone up too much to really feel confident in any of these plays.
Which makes sense when a team has been scoring a ton of points and basically all comes from three or four guys. We just see now there's some cases like the team we're going to get to in a little bit that we talked a lot about yesterday with Pittsburgh, where it's like they still haven't totally gotten there on their price because they just simply haven't raised the guys enough. That's not the case here with New Orleans. I'm completely with you. They're just a little bit too expensive, and it's going to be weird to not play anyone from a team that is projected to put up somewhere around 32 points going in. And yet I think that's probably where we end up landing. Rams, 4 o'clock games. Rams go in to play the Seahawks. Seahawks slight favorites here at minus 2.5. This will be one of the more interesting games of the week with pretty serious playoff implications. Russell Wilson's a guy we talked about at length yesterday about just because we just see him as the clear safest option in terms of quarterback, maybe just the safest guy in general in fantasy at this point, just because of what he means to his team. Guys that we haven't seen as much production from though lately, guys like the receivers. I mean, he's been spreading it out. For as effective as Wilson is, a lot of it comes on the ground, and he does seem to spread the ball out around a lot. Doug Baldwin's been a guy we've been high on in the past, and we really had to just tick down the expectation there because he's not seeing anywhere close to elite targets. What do we feel about the wide receivers here for the Seahawks?
Yeah, I think they're just all a little bit too unreliable for me to want to count on, which makes them interesting big tournament options. Like, we've seen big games out of Paul Richardson. We've seen big games out of Tyler Lockett. It's just we don't really know when those big games are going to come. And I think Baldwin kind of falls in that same category for me. If I had to guess on the biggest upside on a points per dollar basis, I think Lockett might be there just because he's so explosive when he gets his hands on the ball and obviously has that nice touchdown upside. I guess another contextual factor, although it didn't really make much difference last week, is Jimmy Graham is likely not to play this week. He only had two targets last week because he was a little banged up as it was. So I don't know if that really opens up too much. But, you know, we've seen guys like Luke Wilson do some stuff in the past, although this season he has one target in more than half of his games. So it's another weird one. Like, Seattle just kind of spreads the ball out, and, you know, Wilson does a lot and does it in a lot of different ways. Russell, not Luke. And that just makes it tough to figure out where the value is.
Yeah, Nick Vinette could see some more targets here out of the tight end. I think we probably, without Graham, that is that Graham was looking at 6.5 to 7 targets a game, so that would open things up. Another interesting guy here, Mike Davis. Like, they struggled to solidify anything in terms of consistency on the ground, but they have turned to him in a way in the last 2 weeks that has been unlike what they've been doing before with guys like Rawls and Lacey. But with a guy like Davis, you know, 16 carries 2 weeks ago, 15 carries last week, some use in the passing game, has 5 receptions over that time. Where do we want to put him in terms of just as a value guy, especially because they've been dying to have a running back basically this season? You're dying to have a running back if you're starting Eddie Lacy. So that's a pretty big signal that you've waved the white flag in terms of, like, we don't have a running back and we're kind of throwing this guy out there. Mike Davis, only 5,800 on FanDuel. For a guy that could see 16 to 18 touches, do you think he starts creeping up into a value?
I think he does. I mean, listen, he had some tough matchups against Philly and Jacksonville. And, you know, the Rams have been really good this season, but a lot of that's because they've scored so many points rather than having like a shutdown defense. I do think Davis will be more expensive going forward in this season. I'm not sure this is the exact matchup, or like, I'm not sure I want to be the one who says this is the week he goes from 17 touches to 22, just because I think I can probably get him at basically the same price if he gets 22 carries this week, next week as well. And I also just have a really expensive option that I want and a cheap option I already really like. For big tournaments, though, it's hard to imagine a guy with more points per dollar upside. It just with that guy whose price looks like it's waiting to increase or burst, even going 20 touches, 17 touches, and now just a $5,800 price tag. So, yeah, I think he's a good guy to call out. I'm just not sure this is the week.
Well, actually, real quick on DraftKings, he's only 4,000 on DraftKings. Would you rather have Mike Davis or Kerwin Williams? Same price.
Oh, that's close. I think I'd probably rather have Mike Davis, although it's close. I feel like Williams potentially more upside in the passing game just based on his past track record, but it's a tough decision. I mean, I might be interested in playing both, seeing on what those savings could get me.
Yeah, I think I should have written up Davis instead of Kerwin Williams. I think I made a mistake in looking at this. I was a little bit low on his targets, and that is probably going to be the difference. I think I would much prefer Kerwin Williams. Mike Davis here. Yeah, and I think I probably made a mistake in this by not just ticking up his usage a little bit
more.
Don't
beat yourself up, buddy. It happens, okay?
Like you, buddy, I'm just honest. I'm nothing if not honest. I'm just one of the most truthful guys that you will ever meet or will ever know. So
the most truthful guy ever.
Yep. Guy, you know, people are telling the truth when they tell you all the time that they tell you the truth all the time. So that's how you know they're telling you the truth. New England goes in and plays Pittsburgh in a game they were definitely going to have exposure to, as evidenced by how much we've already talked about Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, and possibly even Ben Roethlisberger if you're trying to do a full game stack with those guys. Juju Smith-Schuster is questionable to play. I'm not sure it really matters because those other guys get such outsized usage. So I think on the Pittsburgh side, you're looking at heavy ownership from that crew, and with possible GPP upside from if you want to just pivot to a Martavius Bryant or to a Jesse James, if you think that they're going to just maybe snatch some of the touchdowns equity away from those guys. Like, I think those make reasonable pivots, especially if reasonable pivots if you're going to fade the other guys and just kind of go the next price tier down, like with some of the other running backs we talked about, like a McCoy or a Fournette. I think it would make sense if you're going to do that to also see how you took away some of the scoring from the Steelers side. Does that make sense? Like, you grabbed, like, if you think they're going to put up somewhere like in the 28 point range or 25 point range, it's going to come from somewhere. And if you're going to full fade, go grab the other side of it. New England side, they're going to get Gronk back this week. Looks like Chris Hogan's also going to come back and play. He played limited snaps last week. New England has one of the highest over-unders of the week, and it's their strike me as a team also that are just all GBP across the board because they just spread the love out among everybody. Is that, do you kind of have the same feeling about the Patriots?
I do. Yeah. I mean, you have some guys with potentially big upside like Danny Amendola. I wouldn't be surprised to see him get some ownership this week, coming off a 9-target week at just a $5,200 price tag. And I actually think he's probably just a good cash game play in general.
Yeah. But does it concern, I mean, Gronk didn't play last week. That was why I didn't bump him all the way up. It was like,
I don't think you need to bump him all the way up, but I think Gronk. Yeah, you're right. I mean, they certainly do similar things. I guess I'm just trying to call out where some value might be lurking. And I think Amendola will still see ownership. And I don't think it's hard to imagine it being terrible at 5,200, I guess is my general overall point, because he does provide something that, say, you know, Cooks or the other wide receivers don't provide. So, but yeah, you're right. I mean, generally speaking, it's just spread way too thin.
I would love to know if Hogan was 100% healthy and could get out there. He was a guy that had a big touchdown upside earlier in the season. Obviously, we've been many weeks without him. Cooks has had some big games, and then the running back duo of Burkhead and Lewis have had big games together, and you kind of just need the hope and pray you get the guy that gets the touchdown. And that's, I don't know, it's hard. So it's kind of one of those things where I think if you're taking a New England GBP strategy, you take, like, if you were using our system for it, you basically, and you want to keep you want to keep some sanity around this, is you start locking in guys and then running, and then you just say, I believe in New England this week, and rather than try to guess the one, I'm just going to run permutations off of all the
Brady
different
plus
outcomes.
This guy, Brady plus that guy. Right?
Exactly. Like, this is the Burkhead lineup and just run everything around that. This is the Lewis lineup. This is going to run everything around that. And just kind of, like, again, for your own sanity standpoint, don't try to just pick and choose the guy, but maybe just say, I believe in New England and therefore I'm going to have a basket of all their guys. Last game, 425 game, Tennessee goes in to play San Francisco. San Francisco, a -1 favorite. They've gotten much better quarterback play now that Jimmy Garoppolo is back. There, not a crazy low line considering these are the two teams. Like, I feel, but without Garoppolo, I believe that this line would have been much different. We talked about Marquise Goodwin as a possible cash game play yesterday. What are your thoughts on guys like Carlos Hyde, maybe not so much Matt Breida, but the running attack for the 49ers, and then is there anything to like at all the Tennessee side?
I mean, for the 49ers, I think Marquise Goodwin is a great play for cash games. I think everyone else there, including Hyde, is probably just an upside-only play. Tennessee, I mean, I maybe say this every single week, but there are guys like Rishard Matthews who have upside, and you're not going to play them in cash. So really, you're just doing that, and you'll get some significant separation by doing so. But that's really the only reason to play anyone on the Tennessee side.
Yeah, I think so. I can't imagine having too much exposure to this game outside of just maybe some 4 o'clock lineups, because that's such a small 3-game slate.
All right, buddy, mixed clicks also, you know, like you miss click or you have a placeholder lineup. I could see some getting some significant action on that too.
We got out of here before your hard out at 11:15, so you are good to go. You're free to go. We'll talk to you, everyone, next week when we're breaking down the week that was week 15 in the NFL. DFSR.com/NBA will get you that free 3-day trial. So go check that out. Go if you're playing NBA, DFS NBA, go check out our podcast there as well too. So everything have you all covered in all sorts of different forms of media when it comes to DFS. So go check it out. DFSR.com/NBA. Buddy, enjoy whatever you're doing for the rest of the day, which is probably a lie. You're probably not doing anything.
Let's go. I'll be on the system for basketball tonight. So come say what's up.